Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12. I think we had a really great Christmas season here at Faith Baptist Church and New Year's, and looking forward to having a great 2020. And I know it looks like our attendance is a little bit down today. You say, well, that's what's wrong with that? It says, I guess we didn't invite enough people. So I encourage you to invite people to church, even on regular days. So, but we had some great attendances the last few weeks. Looking forward to God working our hearts in 2020 and just having a great year for the Lord. Our theme for this 2020 is the word consider. And there's so many different things that I thought about it. I was having a choice between two. It was either consider or consider Christ. And the title of this morning's message is Consider Christ. But there's a lot of things that the Bible talks about what we should consider. If you want to look for a definition for the word consider, there's a lot of different ones. But the one I liked the best was to fix the mind on with a view to careful examination, to think on with care, to ponder, to study, to meditate on. So this upcoming year, my desire is to have different times where we will consider. Now, first and foremost, the thing that we should consider most is Christ. And as we're considering Christ with all our actions and what we do, it's something that we should keep in the forefront of our minds. So we're going to look a little bit today about Jesus Christ and why we should consider him. But if we would give self-careful examination what we do and why we do it, based off of what Christ said, what Christ did, what Christ would bless, it would change our lives. But not only are we going to talk about considering Christ, we're going to talk about considering our own ways. We're going to talk about considering the end. We're going to talk about considering creation. We're going to look at some of the different great questions of the Bible and take some time to examine them and question them and look at them and say, okay, what was being taught here? But also throughout the year, we're going to look at different attributes about Christ. Every single day we make choices. Some are small and some are big. And as we make our decisions, it can be easy not to put much thought into them. And sometimes people don't think at all, what they do. Or most times people put more thought about what they're going to wear than they do about what Christ would think about what they're going to wear or what they should do. And many times what happens is we neglect Jesus Christ and considering Christ with our options, and we neglect Christ's wisdom. God's given us a word here. And that's what we're going to consider is this word throughout the year. Consider what the Bible says of how we should react. And consider what the Bible says what we should do. Consider what the Bible says about missions. And consider what the Bible says about revival. Consider what the Bible says about marriage and parenting. Consider what the Bible says about our own lives and how we should be living for him. Our minds are constantly considering choices. Our minds are constantly have different opportunities to think about certain things, considering people, considering events, considering responsibilities. And there's voices from all types of different directions. They want you to consider their message. I think about in 2020, one of the big things that's happening in America is our presidential election. And you have all these different candidates out there, and they all want you to consider them as a presidential candidate. And they want you to consider their policy. They want you to consider their past records. They want you to consider their running mates. They want you to consider their opponents' weaknesses, and they want you to consider their strengths. And so there's a lot of things that we take time to consider, but the question is, how often do we consider Christ? And if he is supposed to be the preeminent in our lives, he's someone that we should be putting first and foremost. Voices from every direction call us to consider their message. Think about it. Advertisements, they want you to consider their product. Posts on social media, they want you to consider their opinion. Friends, they want you to consider them. And family, they want you to consider them. Even our thought lives that we have wants us to consider and take time and space in our mind and take attention away from something to consider exactly what they and their message is. And while there are many, many people in the world and many causes that are worth to consider, and we should consider certain things, there is one who easily gets crowded out of everyday thoughts, and that's the Lord Jesus. But most importantly, he is the one that the Bible specifically says to consider. here in Hebrews chapter number 12. Let's look here at a few verses. The theme verses for the years is found in 2 and 3, but we're going to look specifically at verses 1 through 4 altogether. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, the Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." What a great verse. It talks about the witnesses that we're surrounded by. It talks about how to run this race. It talks about doing it with patience. It talks about laying aside the weights. But then in verse number 2, it talks about how we can accomplish that. Many a times we have taken off in the new year and we say, hey, we want to accomplish all these things. I want to set down that sin. I want to run the race that Christ has given me. And I want to run it the way that he wants me to run it. And then you consider in verse number 2 how you're going to do that. It's found looking unto Jesus, which means keeping our eyes and focus on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So as the scripture is saying here, he was the beginning of our faith. He is the finisher of our faith. And see what he did. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down once he accomplished his work here in this world at the right hand of the throne of God. So in an exalted position. Verse number 3, we find that word consider. It says, for consider him. And that's the thought for the year, is that we want to consider. But who do we want to consider first and foremost? We want to consider Christ. What did Christ do? Why should we consider him? What would Christ have us to do? And it says, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. When we consider ourselves, when we consider others, when we consider circumstance, we can become faint and we can become wearied. But when we consider Christ and what he did and what he's asking us to do, is something that we can rise above those other obstacles. He says in verse number 4, you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. And Lord, as we consider our first Sunday morning message in 2020, Lord, I pray you speak to our hearts this year. I pray that this be the best year in Faith Baptist Church's history. Lord, I pray that we grow the most spiritually. Lord, we see people saved and we see people baptized. We see people discipled. We see people get right. We see families put back together and families strengthened. Lord, we want to see you work in our midst. We want to see God's power. And Lord, we want to see you answering prayers. Lord, help us to consider you with all our actions. And Lord, as we walk away today, help us to think about, how often do I consider Christ? How often do I put him in my thinking? How often do I allow him to make the decisions through his word? And Lord, help us not forget, but do more than just not forget. Help us to take time each and every day with our minds fixed on you, with careful examination, considering you and your purpose and plan for our lives. Help us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Three things I want you to think about. First of all, consider who Christ is. Consider who Christ is. I don't know about you, but if I was asked the question, hey, I want you to take this person's opinion, I want you to value it very highly, I would ask why. Why in the world do I need to listen to that person more than someone else? Sometimes when you consider those presidential candidates and you look at some of them and they're saying, hey, I want you to look at my policies, I want you to look at my platforms, I want you to look at my, I'm looking at them and say, well, why in the world would I want that to be my president? Why in the world would I want that individual to be able to be the president of the United States of America? And there has to be a reason behind our consideration. Okay, we want that person because of where he stands, and maybe he fears God, or maybe because of the past record and things, all those different things, we consider that. But why should we consider Christ? And it's an easy answer for those that are believers. It's an easy answer that are Christians and those that have put their faith and trust in him. It's because he's God. But think about it. First, you hear, you see his position. Consider who Christ is. When you consider who Christ is, the first thing that comes to mind is his position. Think about where he is right now. And it's found in verse number 2. It says, at the end, it says, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He is at the right hand of the throne of God. And even where does that mean for us? Well, in Philippians verses 2 and verses, chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, it says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that he has been exalted up to a position at the right hand of the throne of the Father. And it says that every knee shall bow someday, and every day, every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. And that is something that we should consider. When we're considering, why should I put Christ in my thinking? Why should I even care what he thinks? It's because he's God. And someday we're going to bow a knee to him. Someday we're going to confess that he's Lord. And if we learn to do that today in our lives and consider him and say he is Lord and he is the God of the universe and he is one that deserves our consideration. He is someone that we should think of and he's someone that we should count on because of his position. But not just his position. The Bible goes a step further and says his preeminence also. Not only does the Bible says that he is Lord, and he's Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and someday we will all bow down to him, but consider his preeminence. Look what it says in Colossians chapter number 1. It says in verses 16 through 18, "For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and that in all things he might have the preeminence." You think about what think about what the Bible is saying here is that he should be the preeminence in our life. When's the last time we really even considered Christ? I mean, this past week, was there a time when you thought about who Christ was? I mean, so many times we think about how many this individual or this movie star or this sports player or this person that maybe we look up to, or maybe we consider this political person, or maybe we consider this mentor, or we consider this teacher, or we consider everybody else and everybody else's opinion. But when is the last time you've taken a few minutes to meditate on who Jesus Christ is? The Bible says here that he is the preeminence. The Bible says that all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He says, who is the beginning, the firstborn among the dead? It's Christ is the preeminence. He is supposed to be first in our forethoughts. He is supposed to be first in our worship. He is supposed to be first in our lives. But how often do we really truly consider him? I mean, we would all agree, yes, he's God. Yes, he's sitting on the right hand of the throne of the Father. Yes, he should have the preeminence. But is he preeminent in your life? So the thought this year is to consider, and there's going to be a lot of things to consider, but it begins on who we should consider first, and that's Christ. Because why? Because he has the preeminence. And in the weeks coming, we're going to look at different things about Christ's wisdom. We're going to look at the Word of God. We're going to apply certain things to our heart and life that, you know, hey, when the Bible says we're supposed to forgive, look at it. We should consider forgiving. Why is that? Because it comes from him. It comes from his Word. And so when we consider Christ, we need to consider his position. He is high. He is lifted up. He's God. He deserves our praise. He deserves our worship. The Bible puts it, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, save the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. He is the one above all others, and he is worthy of our consideration. He's worthy of our consideration. He's worthy for us to say, what would Christ do? He's worthy for us to say, how would Christ want me to respond? How would he want me to act here? How should I worship him today? He should be put first and foremost in our hearts and lives. But I challenge you to think, how many of us really truly have spent time considering Christ? And how many of us really truly knew him? Now, I think there's 10 football teams left in the playoffs. And 2 lost yesterday. And I bet you some people in the room know who those 10 football teams are. And maybe not everybody says, well, I'm not a sports fan. Well, whatever it is that your hobby is, something that you would know that maybe nobody else would know. But how many of us can say, hey, I know what the Ten Commandments are? And now some of you say, well, I know what the Ten Commandments are. Some people don't. I was reading a certain little illustration, and back in 2007, I guess they came out with the movie Ten Commandments. I haven't seen it. But they came out, and they said that they were asking different people who knew how much they knew about the Ten Commandments. Only 30% of the people they interviewed or they took the survey with, only 30% of the people knew that it had anything to do with graven images. Only 30% of them knew that had anything to do with taking the name of the Lord, you know, the Lord being the God that's above all other gods. Can you believe that? Now, the 65% of the people knew that a Big Mac was made out of pure beef. They say it's pure beef, but, you know, and it was on a sesame seed bun, was a special sauce, you know, lettuce, cheese, whatever. 65% of the world knew exactly what was on a Big Mac, but only 30% of the world knew that there was graven images stuff in the Ten Commandments. See, there are people that know so much about this world and the things of this world. It has choked our mind and our knowledge and our consideration out of things that are biblical that we could say, hey, I spent a lot of time considering what I should buy somebody for Christmas, but I haven't spent any time considering the one that we celebrate Christmas about. I spent a lot of time considering this and considering that, but I don't spend time considering the one who's sitting at the right hand of the Father and the one who's supposed to be preeminent in our lives. Have we spent the last week any time just saying, hey, who Jesus Christ is? Because once we learn who Christ is and we consider Christ, it will change the way that we think. And look, first of all, consider who Christ is. Second thing I want you to think about is consider what Christ did. Consider what Christ did. It says in verse number 2, he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He is the beginning and the creator of our faith. And he is the one that we can trust to finish our faith. It says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, who is set down at the right hand of the throne of the Father. Now, so this gives the idea of the cross. It gives the idea that he was the savior of the world. There's two main things I think about when I see that Christ came into this world. The first thing he did, and he always did, is he glorified his Father. And as we're going to consider Christ, we're going to consider who he is. We see his position. We understand he's supposed to be the preeminent. But also what he did. And the thing he did more than anything else, he did the will of the Father. Our job in this world is to try to glorify God. And he glorified the Father. Look what it says in John chapter number 17. If you want to take your Bibles there, it gives Jesus speaking to his Father. In John chapter 17, in the high priestly prayer, he's praying to his Father. And he says this. And he gets the understanding of what his purpose in this world was. So we consider who he is, now consider what he did. In John chapter 17, verse number 1, the Bible says, these words spake Jesus and lifted his eyes up to heaven. It lifted his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. And it says in verse number 2, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And verse number 4 is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. And you think what it says in verse number 4, he says, I have glorified thee on earth. His what did he do when he was here in this world? And he said, well, he taught, he did miracles, he lived the perfect life. Yes, he did all those things. His ways were perfect. His everything he did was perfect and was perfect and sinless. But he says at the end of his life, he's getting ready to die for the sins of mankind. He looks at him and he says, this is the thing that I did while I was here in this world. I have glorified thee here on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. So I want you to not only consider who Christ is, but consider what he did. He glorified his Father. So as we're considering Christ and we say, okay, how am I supposed to respond? What am I supposed to do? Then it should be, you know what? Christ glorified God in everything he did. Of course, he was Christ. He was the Son of God, God himself. But that's what we're supposed to consider. If Christ glorified God with what he did, he finished the work that God had given him here to do, then we should consider what he did. He's saying God had a special plan and a purpose for his life, and I glorified you while I was here on this earth. I finished the things that you've given me to do. Now glorify me. And he's saying, look, glorify, because when you glorify me, I'm going to lift you up. And I want you to think about it. What did he do in this world? Yes, he healed blind Bartimaeus. Yes, he taught us so many things. Yes, he gave us an example of how to live. But he glorified the Father. And when we consider him, in my life, am I glorifying God with my life? And the Bible says, whatsoever you do. We should just do it with all our might, yes, but we're supposed to glorify the Lord with it. So not only did he glorify the Father, but also, you see, he was the Savior of the world. You see where it says he, the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He came to redeem the sins of mankind. So when we consider that, consider who he is, but consider what he did. Jesus Christ came to this world to die for the sins of mankind. The Bible says, but God commended his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That Jesus Christ died for us because we were sinners and we were in need of a salvation. He came, he left his throne in heaven, he left his exalted place, he came to this world to become man, still being God. He came and he lived the perfect life, the sinless life, to redeem mankind, to seek and to save that which was lost. And he died on that cross for us. We should consider that. So when we're considering who he is, yes, he's God, and yes, he should be Lord of my life, and I see his position. I understand he's supposed to be preeminent, and I know why he was here. What he did while he's here, he glorified the Father, but I also see how he glorified the Father by doing the Father's will. And so how can I glorify the Father? When I consider Jesus, he did everything the Lord had given here to do on this earth. It says, I glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And the Bible says he was the author, which means the beginning of her faith. And he was the finisher of her faith. He's going to complete that work. And what he did on the cross is a completed work. And he died for us. He did the will of the Father. So when I'm considering, okay, how am I supposed to live this life? I'm considering what Christ did. I see that he glorified God, but he died on that cross for a purpose, to seek and to save that which was lost. And is that my life? Is it my life or is it God's life? One of those, you know, question marks, what know ye not that you've been bought for a price? Those are things that we should consider. And there's just so much in the Bible that is given here for us to think about, to examine, to reckon, to count up, to reason, to think carefully on, to reason through. But how often do we actually consider who Christ is? He was the Savior of the world. Yes, he was the perfect one. His ways are perfect. His work is perfect. He showed us how to be a servant. He showed us how to live. He shows us how to have victory over sin. He's the one that was able to fight off the temptations of the devil after once again and once again. But consider what Christ did in this world. The third thing is, not only consider who Christ is and consider what Christ did, consider what Christ would want you to do. That's what he's saying here. And it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And he says, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. That's where he comes to verse number 3. He says, consider him. Verse number 1, look, we're supposed to run this great white race that God's put us. It says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. God has given us each a race. We have a certain lane that we're supposed to be in. We have a race that we're supposed to be running. I can't run my race. I can't run somebody else's race for them. I'm not going to get involved in somebody else's race. God's put this race in front of me, and I'm supposed to run it with patience. So how do I do that? I look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. I see what he did. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and he finished his race. But now, okay, he finished his race. Now, how can I continue my race? It's by considering him. Because when I consider and I'm running this race, and I haven't ran a race in a long time, but when I try to exercise or when I do things, when I try to run for a certain period of time on a treadmill or a walk for a certain period of time, for a certain length or in a certain time period, you know what? There's certain things that start happening in your body. Your body wants to give out. Your body doesn't want to continue on. Your body starts hurting. And so what are you supposed to think about? Are you going to consider your body? Are you going to consider the fact that you're thirsty and sweaty and tired? Or are you going to consider the goal? And in our lives, when we had this race that we've been put before us, if we consider how we feel more than we consider what Christ wants us to do, you know what we're going to do? We're not going to run the right race. When we consider how someone else feels instead of what Christ feels, you know what's going to happen? Our course is going to change. Instead of considering what he wants, we begin to consider what other people want. I've never personally read the book, and the only reason why I looked it up, but it came from a book called In His Steps. There was a fad back in the 90s that had these bracelets that said WWJD, what would Jesus do? And I don't know much about the book or anything. I know they even made a couple movies about it, but it's what I would like for us to think about this year is what would Jesus do? What would Jesus say? How would Jesus act? Are we going to consider it? Are we going to consider, like I said, it's here in verse number 3, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. It's going to become tiresome. It's going to become hard if we stop considering him. If we stop considering his purpose and his plans and stop considering about who he is and stop considering what he did, you know what? We're not going to care much about what he wants us to do. I think it'd probably be next Sunday morning where I look in the book of Haggai and it's going to talk about considering your ways. And it's an interesting passage of scripture and it talks about considering what you've done. And that's, I think it's a great time of year to look at that. You know, we consider what last year was like and consider what we want to happen in 2020. And before we consider anything else in this world, we should consider him. Who's him? We should consider Christ. Why is that? Because he is supposed to have the preeminence in our life. I want to challenge you with a couple things this week as we're beginning this year, is to think about Christ. Tragically, many people in America do not really consider who Jesus is. They know a little bit about God, but they do not consider Jesus as they make up their day-to-day decisions. Too many people do not understand that Jesus is truly God who came to earth in human flesh. He died for the sins of all mankind. He is not only the Son of God, but he is God himself, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. So think about this week. Who is Jesus Christ? I began with the only time I try to give a little bit of a challenge and maybe write some things down, I began thinking, and boy, it encourages your heart. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the one who died for me. But he also has so many different things that you can learn and understand about him. He's the one that was the friend of sinners. He's the one that cared about others that no one else cared about. And if you continue to look at the Bible and begin to look at the Bible, okay, what does the Bible say about this? Look and see what Jesus said. What did Jesus say about divorce? What did Jesus say about friendship? What did Jesus say about forgiveness? What did Jesus say? And you guess, okay, what did Jesus do when he was confronted with this? What did Jesus do when he confronted all those different things? We can learn so much. And he's given his word. He has taught us and he's revealing. That's what the word of God is God's revelation of himself to us. And we many times don't even pick up the Bible and read. When is the last time that we've spent time pondering who Jesus is? Now, here in the scriptures, it says, consider him. What's it talking about? It says, consider Christ. Why is that? Because the only way we're going to be able to run the race that God has set before us is by putting him first and foremost in our hearts and life. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. And I don't know where you're at today in your Christian life, but I know it's easy to get tired or wearied, like the Bible says. It seems like nothing's going the way that you expected, and you get wearied and faint in mind, and you're like, is it worth it? It's time to give it up. I don't really see what the results I want to see. But that's why the Bible says when you're considering this race, you need to consider him. What did he do? It says in John 17, verse number 4, he finished all the things that God had given him to do. I finished the work. And that's what I want to say at the end of my life is, Lord, I finished the work that you gave me to do. Lord, I glorified you here in this world. Now, have I done that every day? Of course not. I fall short of that. But that's a goal. But the only way that's ever going to happen is if I will learn to consider Christ. Remember, he is God. You think about his position. There's a reason why he's seated at the right hand of the Father. There is a reason why he's supposed to be the preeminence. And then you consider what he did. He glorified God and he was the savior of mankind. Now the question is, what does God want you to do? When you come across people this week, when you come across situations, consider what Christ would want you to say. Consider what Christ would want you to do. Consider how Christ would ask you to act. Consider how Christ would ask you to give. Consider how Christ would ask you to serve. Consider how Christ would want you to tell somebody else about Jesus Christ. Many times we have let opinions of our own selves and opinions of others affect us so much that we don't even consider him in some of the biggest times of our lives and some of the biggest decisions of our lives. We must learn to consider Christ in every area. What would Jesus do? What would Christ have me to do? This morning, if you're here and not sure, why in the world would I care what Jesus thinks? Have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Have you ever seen what he did for you? If you consider what he did for you, you understand why he's supposed to be Lord of your life and why you should want to serve him. I want to encourage you this morning, if you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, no greater thing you can do any day of the year, but especially at the beginning of the year, to start this year new and fresh, knowing that, hey, I'm on my way to heaven, and I know that I have a heavenly home someday. But for the rest, which I know I would think would be the majority of the people here today that profess to be Christians, consider Christ this week. Take out a paper and spend 5 or 10 minutes each day just thinking about him. Meditating on it. Meditating is something that is a lost art. Meditating on who Christ is. Look in the Bible and maybe there's a certain topic and see what Jesus said about a certain topic. See how Jesus responded. See what Jesus thought about it. See what Jesus, and that's what we're going to be doing throughout this year, is just considering different things. And we're going to do it from the Word of God. We're going to do it, this is how Christ wants us to consider this topic. And I pray that it would be a blessing and a help to you. But today, when's the last time you truly considered Christ, pondered on him? I know we ponder on his word and his word speaks of him, but when's the last time you spent some time just considering him and considering what he would want me to do? Let's go ahead and stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation.